we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to the sit down at the Purely Arsenal podcast. North London is red. London is red. We always know it. And it's Neil Shah with me. How are you doing, Neil?
Champions, son. Champions.
Champions. 8 games in. God, yeah. We're not jumping the gun a little bit, but hey, got to be positive, aren't we? We're there. So, you know, if you'd have taken it, imagine at the start of the season, you got told you won 7 out of the 8 opening fixtures. I mean, you would have taken that in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? But beyond all that, it's really been the performances that have struck us a lot, I think, really. So we're going to get into that. An absolutely dominant display against our North London rivals, if you want to call them that. I mean, 22 shots to 7. It was one-way traffic the whole game. I think we all knew it was going to be. I think even I predicted a rousing win last week. And the reason I did, I mean, I don't think I got it right. I think maybe I said 4-1 or something like that. I think James got it right. James and Mike aren't with it. I'm sure James wanted to be on this one because he's had a good week. He's predicted everything almost, hasn't he? But the reason I said it was because I just felt we would have learned from the errors that we made against United. I think the Brentford game was a clear sign that we were learning not to make. And although this game wasn't completely clean, I also felt because being at home, etc., I just felt we were dominating for sustained periods of time, you know, and it being the derby, etc. So, I mean, let's crack on with it. I know you don't like line-up questions, but I think going into the game, there was a lot of, I mean, obviously, in the national break, there was a lot of party talk with the return early. It felt like, though, if you were being honest, and certainly in hindsight, that we'd really managed this international break quite well. We'd had the Brazilian trio stay home. Ben White didn't get called up. Ramsdale didn't play. You know, just things like that played into our hands a little bit. Obviously, Odegaard and one or two others played. Party got called back and seemingly was fit. I think the only question mark, Neil, if everyone was fit, was the left back position. I just wondered what your thoughts were with the way he went with that in the end and starting Zinchenko.
I personally wasn't surprised. I kind of predicted a lineup as well myself. But the only one that I didn't get right was the other side. Because I thought Tomiyasu might come in for White. And actually, with hindsight now, I'm glad it didn't work that way because actually, White was a very unsung hero in that game. I don't know if you noticed how he was playing, but he was quite good with the way he was moving off the ball. And he was actually doing a lot in attack that people may have missed.
Of overlaps, yeah.
Yeah, overlaps, yeah. And distractions. And actually, he was responsible for a couple of very good crosses as well, one which obviously was an assist and the other one which Jesus headed wide later on in the game. So he was a menace, really. So he actually did really well. So I'm actually glad that he did stick with White rather than going for Tomiyasu, who I thought he might bring in. So, yeah, the only other one was the Tierney-Zinchenko debate. And I could totally understand the reasons if he did go for someone like Tierney. But for me, I mean, you've probably heard me say it many times before. If it's not broken, don't try and fix it. And to be honest, this starting lineup, when it was announced, it didn't actually surprise me, to be fair. I thought this has been a winning formula. We've been doing really well with it. And Zinchenko, I think, has been doing, you know, very well. Considering, I think we were a little bit concerned with his defensive abilities early on, but then I think he came to age maybe 2 or 3 games in, and we started seeing some good work from him. And I know Tierney had a good game. I'm not saying he didn't. I think when he came on, he did play well. So there was arguments for him. But for me, it's just comforting to know that we've got 2 fairly good players that can play in that position if need be. And I'm sure if something wasn't working with the system, maybe the midfield wasn't working, he could have potentially moved Zinchenko into the midfield and then brought Tierney on later on anyway. So for me, I thought it was fine. I wasn't surprised at all, actually, by the lineup. And as it happens, it paid off in the end. So no, not for me.
No, I agree with you. I think it's just incredible to see the license Zinchenko gets. I mean, oftentimes he finds himself in that inside sort of left role in the midfield, and his ability to just be able to roam. But I think I haven't got the data in front of me, but I do think we create more when he's on the pitch. I think we're more creative. I think we push ourselves higher. Obviously, it's leaving Gabriel exposed, which I don't think we talk about enough, really, because obviously we're going to get to Gabriel, and he's definitely been, you know, a little bit error prone this season. But he's also much more exposed than the right side, isn't he? If you look at it, we've got a centre back that's playing right back at the moment, so that does work in the favour of the right centre back in a sense. Whereas Zinchenko is just like a whole different ball game. But ultimately, I'm just all for. I actually think Tierney looked really good against Brentford, a bit like the old Tierney again. But I do think Zinchenko's a superior footballer, and I'd rather have better footballers on the pitch if we can. But what, like you said, what a great option to have those two players. Hopefully they both keep themselves fit, because that's the one issue we probably have.
But I think this is the thing, you see, the introduction of Zinchenko, Jesus and Saliba has kind of, the way they're, the levels that they're playing at has raised everyone else.
Yeah.
So Tierney's probably got no choice but to improve. And you're right, I think he was doing a little bit more of what he used to do against Brentford, but I think that's because he knows that he's got stern competition now. So they've all got competition. A lot of the positions now, there's some good competition, and the ones that there isn't any, we need to maybe fill those positions slowly over time. But it's just great because it's giving Arteta loads of options. And that also means we can field more, a different team in the other cup games, which means other players can get rested. And I'm guessing we'll touch on that later on with the Bodo game coming up. So it's all good. It's all good, Jack.
No, it was probably, yeah, certainly this season our most expected first 11. One-way traffic, Neil. One-way traffic from the get-go. Yeah. Probing. It was just incredible to see how deep. I know they're a negative team. Conte's played this way his whole career. Played with Chelsea and won the league with them, mind you. But there, he did have a side that I think had won the league 2 years previously, right? So a lot of people that kind of knew how to do it, it was easy for him to adapt. But he's got players in his side that just technically on the ball, he's just drawing them back. And we were able to sit so high. And that's really, Neil, we probed. I thought Saka was fantastic in probing and drawing two players over to him at times. I thought we did start really fast. I just don't think we necessarily ushered Lloris's goal enough. I mean, the one big chance before Partey's goal, Neil, was the Martinelli one, wasn't it?
Martinelli, yeah.
Hit the post, or it saved onto the post. But at that time, we were really, I think that was 2 or 3 minutes in, but we were really probing, and we were going.
Saka was responsible for a lot of that.
Yeah, he was the one that whipped it in, I think. Yeah.
So I don't know why people keep saying that he's not the player he was. What are you talking about?
They're just looking at output, mate. I think if he had 3 or 4 more goals, they'd be saying he's the best player. Sad it is, really.
But is it just that, Jack? I think it's also because everyone else is now playing so much better. I just don't think he's getting noticed as much. I actually believe that. Because before it was only him, or maybe
thing, yeah.
Which is a great thing.
Yeah.
I think it takes the pressure off the lad a little bit as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I thought he was, there's a lot of players you could call out for standout performances in this game, but he was definitely one of them being necessarily the key component to the 3 goals that we scored, but so important in the way he kind of draws people away. His energy, his ability on the ball in the final third, I think is really, really good. We went through the game. They had one chance before the Partey goal, which was just, we played a really high line off that free kick, which did concern me at the time. We were playing a high line the whole game, but off the free kick in particular, we know from set pieces is something Conte probably drilled into him. And Ben White just sat off, didn't he, a little bit. Great save from Ramsdale, who I thought didn't have a lot to do, but I thought he was very good in this game as well.
That's it. So this is the comforting thing. When our defence is breached and we're not doing what we should be doing back there, we got our good goalkeeper to save the day. And it just reminds me of the olden days with Seaman and the back four. If they were breached, then you got Seaman to contend with. And it just adds, this fuels the confidence, this intensity and infectiousness from great players are spreading all throughout the whole park, if that makes sense. And, you know, at the end of the day, God, if the defenders do make a mistake and we're thinking, oh, no, but then we've got a great goalkeeper or a solid goalkeeper between sticks to save the day. And then if that does happen, then he does make a good save like he did. it's just great for the rest of the team, the vibes and all the positivity. And I think we're almost the complete package, mate.
Yeah, if we can, of course, keep everyone fit or certain players fit. And saying that, Thomas Partey, who I thought, you know, if anyone wants to say Thomas Partey was man of the match in this game, I can't really argue with him.
No, great.
I thought he was man of the match against Brentford as well, to be honest. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. But what he hasn't been doing, despite his fantastic performances, is pinging one whippy delish from 30 yards out. But it was amazing. I mean, amazing the goal. I mean, how did you react? But just how deep they sat off, you know? It looked like, I don't know if you saw Arteta's reaction, but it really looked like he was calling to someone or saying something to someone like, we planned for this. They were going to keep falling further and further back towards their goal, you know? But what a goal, Neil.
Oh, mate. Do you know it was 22 passes that led to that?
Yeah, you sent me the video, I think, or someone did.
Yeah, someone must have known. It wasn't me, but I think I didn't realise it, but I found out later on, and I said it to you guys on the chat. It was actually 22 passes that led to that. It's incredible. And it was a slow but nicely, very calm and almost composed, the way Saliba plays, sort of build-up, you know, passing. But that was because Tottenham allowed us. I was actually shocked because I've watched it back. I'm like, they're just standing back, letting us just do what we want to do. And two or three of our players were in such good space. Like White was in a lot of space. Partey was in a lot of space. But actually, that's the last two. They finished off the move. I think Saka passed it to White, who was in acres of space. And then he passed it to Partey, who had first time touch. I mean, it was his body shape, his execution, perfect. Yeah. And that goal was perfect. And I'm surprising because I love Jonathan Pearce. I don't know if you remember Jonathan Pearce.
Yes,
from,
of course I do.
Yeah. And he was going, oh, well, maybe Lloris was a little bit blinded by his defence. I thought that was just a great goal. It doesn't matter whether he was blinded or not. It was perfectly executed. It was right in the corner. I don't think many goalkeepers would have stood a chance. It's just his execution of it. If you look at his body shape just before he fires, perfect.
Yeah,
balanced. Perfect. And I'm so pleased for him. And what I noted from that, just post the celebrations, did you see Xhaka get them all into a huddle? And he's always telling them to, right, keep calm. Doesn't matter if we take the lead, keep calm. We've got to focus, keep focused. I love that. And it's so clear. And I think from the documentary, you know, he really is the unofficial captain. I think Odegaard's got it by name, but in the official capacity, but I think he's definitely the captain because even in the documentary, when they were coming back in the changing room, it was him barking and shouting. And,
I think it's great balance, Neil, because one's the technical leader and the other one's the verbal one, if you like, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can tell they're both, well, certainly Odegaard, you know, he's humble enough to know and take that role, you know? He doesn't seem necessarily the most vocal. Like, but a bit like Koscielny wasn't, was he? He wasn't the most vocal, but you don't need to be necessarily. But I think it's a good balance. And like you said, Granit Xhaka is, I mean, another one that you can call out for. But it was a great goal. It was great because I do feel the first goal in these games is so crucial. But I do feel against Tottenham, although it didn't work out that way because obviously we quickly conceded after it. But I do feel the first goal against them really forces them to change their immediate game plan. They have to come out. They have to push up more. They have to create more gaps at the back. And they don't really, as good as they are in transition going one way, I think they're terrible in transition going the other way because they don't have to deal with it all anyway. If anyone tries to counter them, they don't have to deal with it. It was a bit like what our third goal was, really. It was really kind of a counter-attack. But we'll get back to that. But like you said, brilliant goal from Partey. I think he's been fantastic. Obviously, our biggest argument against Partey through, you know, the weeks and the seasons has been, can he stay fit? I think there was the stat we mentioned in the last pod, something like 58% of games that he's played. It was quite interesting. I read something about Atletico Madrid and how they used him because he obviously was pretty fit there.
Yeah.
And he rarely ever finished games for them. And he would always start the big games, but he wouldn't always start the other ones. And he would rarely finish games for them. And if you watch in the last two games, obviously we've had the penalty to be able to do that, but he's been the first sub off, hasn't he? He's been like 65 minutes off. And obviously you've got to be in a position to be able to do that. But I think any time we're in a position to be able to do that, he should be the first sub off. I think we just can't risk it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just cool. I thought I'd touch on that. But their goal, Neil, I mean, there is a lot of places you could place the error before the Gabriel challenge, but I just wonder what your thought. It was very chaotic. And obviously penalty for Harry Kane against Arsenal just seems a given at this point. But what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I was worried. I said the only way we can stop him is stop Kane from scoring and stifle Son. So, well, we managed to stifle Son, but the Kane penalty came, didn't it? But I thought the irony of it was a overhit pass by Son that started the blooming move for them. So he overhit it, and then that ran the ball near to the line, and then I think because Ramsdale came right out to try and get it, it all created chaos. We managed to get it out, and I thought, oh great, we've got it out, and then for some reason it just didn't, and then there was just that little bit of a messy period, and then Gabriel just went in too strong. I don't know why he did that. He just dived in. I don't know whether he panicked or whatever it was, but it was a penalty.
It was a penalty, I agree.
It was a penalty.
I've just rewatched it, and it's actually Saka that loses the ball at high up.
Okay.
He just tries to do, he's doing, I mean, in fairness to Saka, he's always got two or three on him, but he actually kind of does the two or three and tries to do again, loses the ball. And then when you said, it looks like we're about to clear our lines, but it's actually a terrible first touch from Granit Xhaka to put it back to Richarlison. He just goes back into the box, and that's the one error that Xhaka made in a pretty faultless performance once again. But it was, at that time, Neil, quite frustrating. And I did feel a little bit nervous. Did you feel the same? Because they'd come back into it so quickly.
I was hating it because I thought, we've done played so well. This is going to be Man U again. I thought, come on, we can't. But you know what struck me by it? This is where I think we've matured. And we actually did it with the Man U game, to be fair. Our heads don't drop anymore. They just don't, you know, that losing that goal or conceding that goal could have really changed things for us mentally. And it didn't. We carried on. We started coming back at them. All right, they had a bit of a spell, but that was it. And it wasn't, their spell didn't really have any bite, apart from the pen. If you think about it, I think
there was... up ushering our goal or anything, no?
No, not really. You know, apart from that Ramsdale save early on, I can't remember too much.
We just weren't being clean enough with the ball, Neil. We were losing the ball in silly areas for that 15-minute period.
But that was it. And then, you know, after that, we could have scored even before the break. There was a couple of chances that we had. And
yeah, Jesus weaving in and out.
That amazing run.
Yeah, should have scored, but fantastic.
That was from an Odegaard pass. Well, that was a very clever pass to him from Odegaard.
Yeah.
And what a run, though. I mean, just bamboozling defenders. And I don't know whether he should have just, because there was a couple of players in the box. I just don't know whether, unless he didn't have the time to, and he just had to get the shot
away. Head up, yeah.
But that was great. So we had a couple of chances, and then second half, we just carried on from where we left off. So I love the attitude, and that's the difference. And that's why people keep laughing at me saying, you know, because I'm predicting we're going to win the league now. Sorry, I'm just going to say it. I really do. I mean, all right. Okay. We've got the elephant in the room and that machine Haaland, who's like going to rewrite the history books.
Ivan Drago.
Bloody hell. I mean, I think Henry's records are pretty much going to disappear.
Everyone's aren't they? He's not human, is he? He's just not.
He's I don't know what he is, mate. But do you know what? They did interview him before the game, and he's actually a really nice guy, and it's like hard not to like him.
Yeah, he comes across great, yeah.
Yeah, which is
just a normal kind of chap, doesn't he, really?
Yeah, exactly. He's very down to earth and grounded, and I thought, oh, bless him, you know. But I still think, I keep saying to myself, well, we only got to play them twice, 6 points. If we can get a draw, who knows? A win is, maybe a bit of a dream, but who knows, Jack? I mean, you think about last season, where we lost that game 2-1, was it? I thought that was officiating that cost us that game, big time.
Yeah, well, yeah, we were a better team in that game.
And that was with the team we had last season.
Again, it was a Gabriel losing his head moment a little bit.
Yeah, but, you don't know. So I think that the attitude and the mentality of the players has changed so much. And it's been apparent right from the friendlies. And we've kept it going. Each time we've been tested, what's going to happen if we concede a goal? What happens if we go down? And each time we come back from it, what happens if we lose a game, as we did against Man U? What happened? We won the next two.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, we're answering a lot of critics for sure, and a lot of people that don't, you know, said we haven't played anyone or haven't proven anything yet. Obviously, it is just 8 games in, but you can only judge it on that at this point so far. But just to go back a little bit, obviously, yeah, Kane, you know, I didn't expect Ramsdale to save it. I did think it was very, very sort of clumsy. I didn't actually put too much down to Ramsdale on that. But again, really frustrating to concede at that point. I just felt we got a bit sloppy that last 15 minutes. Maybe it took us a while to adjust to the fact we conceded, because it didn't feel like it was coming at that moment in time, to be honest. But the halftime team talk goes in, and what's really fantastic is we come out fearless, really. And, you know, it's a home game, 1-1. You know, it's all to play. Could go either way at that point. And we come out in the same vein, knowing that we are the better team, right? And Tottenham play on errors. They play against the deck, really. What they're doing is basically playing on your one error and understanding that they've got people that can capitalise on it in the front, because they do have one of the best front threes in the league. That's not debatable, really. But if he lost one of those, I mean, he lost Kulusevski, and you saw how that affected things and how just that one loss, and Kulusevski's not even, you know, certainly the least proven out of the three. So it's just such a negative way of playing, I think. But obviously, you know, Arsenal notoriously, ever since Wenger days, really have played in a way that's really been easy on the eye and entertaining football. And thankfully, Mikel Arteta has pulled us back to that direction where, you know, we were questioning it for a while. But it's so clear and so evident now that he's doing that. But half-time, I was really nervy at half-time, I've got to admit. I remember texting you lot, and I was like, I was really upset with that last 15 minutes. I felt like we were losing our way a little bit. But as soon as the second half started, I calmed again. I felt like it was one-way traffic, and it was really nice to get that early goal. It's always fantastic to see a silly fumbling error from Hugo Lloris, who I've always thought is overrated, by the way.
Which you recreated very well, yes.
Yeah, I couldn't help, as soon as I saw it, I went, if we're winning this game, I've got to recreate. Because I just thought it was the funniest thing. Because not only he fumbles Saka's shot, Saka again does brilliantly, but then he fumbles again. I just thought it was really funny. But you got to take, it was really a play on people winding up Ramsdale for every little mini error that he does. So I'm going to get back at someone else's goalkeeper for a little bit. But Jesus, mate, right place, right time. And it is, I mean, he was fantastic as well, wasn't he?
It's the hunger. We have not had that in the box. We've completely missed that. Would we have had a player driving in that fashion seasons gone to convert that loose ball or that mishap by Lloris? I'm not sure we would have. But he's there. He's always there. He's a predator, isn't he? That's what he is. He's a predator. His prey is the ball, and his goal is the net, and with no pun intended. And that's what he does. And but Saka again. It's all Saka. He's down that right hand side, and that was actually a good shot that he executed. Great shot. It's a good save, and luckily for us, the save didn't either stay in his hands or it didn't go away from Jesus, and it was something that he could pounce on. But I just think again, it's just that desire from the players to want to win, and Jesus is the epitome of that, and that is what is making the difference. And I can see that replicating going forward as well, Jack.
Yeah.
And I think actually, Jack, just as a side note, I think we're going to get better. I think we're going to keep improving.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it does. We've got 9 games in October. I mean, we've talked about it before, so I don't have to go over it again. But certainly think, I don't necessarily think we've got a thin squad, but I think in order to compete at the top end, it worries me a little bit. We've really got to be clever with how we manage guys like Partey and guys like Saka at this moment in time, just because I'm not sure the level of rotational options are there yet. You know, they could come out. We'll see how these Europa League games go and things like that. But also fantastic that Jesus, as intense as he was, he didn't get booked. So we haven't lost him for the Liverpool game, which is really, really important. Because we really need him for that, don't we? So,
100%.
But like you said, I think he's the first player in a while that, you know, I'm not necessarily saying it since Ian Wright, but maybe that is that fox in the box, but can also contribute so much to outside the box, right? In terms of how he plays, like the mazy run that he had in the first half, like you said. When you go 2-1 up so early in the second half, it just gives everyone a lift. I was so positive after that. I was like, okay, we're 2-1 up. They've got to come out again. And it was really one-way traffic still, to be honest, at that point. And then the incident came up. Definite red card for me. What about for you, Neil?
Talking about Martinelli. on Martinelli?
Yes, from Emerson Royale, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And again, Jonathan Pearce, he thought that it wasn't a red card, and he even mentioned it to...
I heard that.
Was it Conte or one of the players in the post-interviews?
I think it was Conte, yeah, I saw the interview.
What are you talking about? That could have been a season-threatening injury, or even worse.
Yeah.
It was horrible. It studs up, and it wasn't even going towards goal. There was actually no need for it. It's like it... I don't think he deliberately meant to harm the player, but that was so reckless. It was ridiculous.
Really reckless.
And you guys, I think you and James especially were talking a lot about him and what kind of player he is anyway. And you actually weren't even surprised, I don't think, by that. It's just reckless because Martinelli had outwitted him throughout the whole game, and it was frustration on his part, I guess.
Yeah.
And his way of lashing out, and it's childish and reckless. And that, I'm so... That was the, if you know, you were saying that you were worried about the part where Tottenham came back into the game a little bit. I was so worried when Martinelli was on the floor. I thought, no, please, please, because he's been such an important player for us.
Yeah.
While all the focus keeps going on Jesus, but Martinelli's been outstanding as well.
Yeah.
He really
was brilliant again.
And when I saw him get up, and I thought, thank God, I really was so pleased. But do you know what? Although it was great to see them go down to 10 minutes, it normally happens to us. Although that was good, I still think the outcome would have been the same anyway, even if they still had 11 on the pitch. I think that we were that good and we were that dominant.
No, I think it allowed them to go back into safety mode because at that moment they had to come out. But they went down to 10 and it was like, oh, hold what you've got, you know, until late in the game. And if they'd gone, if they'd come out more, I think we would have created more and scored again. To be honest, I do because I think that's the way it was going. But when I saw the tackle, I didn't know if it was a red initially, but it was. I just thought it was. He was nowhere near the ball. Whether it was a lazy tackle or intentional, it's weird, isn't it? Down that left side, it was quite interesting because Martinelli, Emerson, and Richarlison are all effectively international teammates. But it's definitely something a bit dodgy there because they were all biting each other, weren't they? And Martinelli was having the better of both of them, which was fantastic to see. Richarlison was going crazy. You could tell it was fantastic. But I think, well, Richarlison, he was down the left. Yes, it was Richarlison, Emerson Royale. So it was very interesting to see. But like you, I think we've had players that have done that in the past. Xhaka did it, Aubameyang at Palace, you know, had these sort of step on, and it's red, you know, it doesn't matter if it's intentional or not. It's
the red card.
It studs up. You know, it's a dangerous tackle. It's really dangerous. So I'm not really sure why people are arguing it and so shocked. I'm certain I've seen it for Arsenal players before and people have said there's no other choice. So I just find that very, very interesting. And again, you see, I think it was after the third goal, but we'll touch on it. Harry Kane with his little niggles that he gave to Gabriel, little kick in the back. Gets away with murder. Then he gets away with...
Of course he does. It's the captain. Always will do.
It's always happened, Neil, isn't it? Do you remember with Rooney and Shearer back in the day?
Yeah.
It was a nightmare, wasn't it? Rooney was one of the worst, I thought, of it. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he dived his way to removing our unbeaten run, and it's never talked about. You can't find that dive for love. They'll never show it.
No.
Incredible, isn't it, really?
He was the darling, you know, he was better than Ronaldo as well. He was just amazing.
Yeah, people used to say that, which is incredible, isn't it, really? But yeah, we're same with Kane. I mean, what he gets away with, backing into people, elbows into people, kicking people after the ball. Now, has he ever been sent off? I can't even remember him being booked much. So it's just that is incredible. But yeah, at 2-1, it was interesting because I'm never confident. Obviously, 2-1, 10 men, you think the game's over. And I don't know why I didn't. I felt supremely confident in the way that we were playing, but you just worry about they need a chance, don't they? So that's the worry. But the third goal is a transitional goal, really, where they are trying to get forward with us, but Thomas Partey is fantastic for that third goal. I mean, little 1-2. I think Xhaka's involved in the build-up as well, isn't he? But just talk me through the third goal, mate.
It's all about partying. That was kind of like showed what he was doing all game, really. He was instrumental in it, 100%. His command and he started to remind me of how composed Saliba is. You know how Saliba is in his way. He's like a movie. We talk about Haaland, but Saliba's the opposite in the other end. He's just ridiculous. It kind of felt like Partey was so composed, especially yesterday. Like you said, he was good with Brentford as well. But I really noticed it yesterday, how just composed he was. It's almost as if he's just saying, yeah, let it all come to me. I'll sort it all out. And that's what's giving Xhaka the enterprise to do what Xhaka's doing. I think Xhaka now has found a team, a set of players, and a way that a balance and the way we play that suits him to a T. And that's now why we are finally seeing probably what Wenger saw in Xhaka all those years ago. And we're seeing, I still feel that Xhaka's almost like a new signing because of it's just risen from the Phoenix. It's a different kind of player for me. And he's been brilliant throughout, literally, the whole season. But Partey was just so confident and composed with how he was controlling the midfield. And it was basically him in that third goal. I thought it was, although obviously Xhaka scores it, and then there was a little bit of interaction by Martinelli. For me, the goal was all Partey.
Yeah,
he drove the ball up the pitch. I think there was an exchange with Xhaka, and then I think Xhaka lays it off to Martinelli, who kind of confused the defenders by moving to the right. And as he's moving to the right, Xhaka picks it up, moves to the left, and I think that just bamboozled Tottenham defence. And it was a great finish. And it epitomised Xhaka. I'm so pleased for him to score in a North London derby. And I think he's already won over the hearts anyway after what happened 3 years ago at Palace. Against Palace. And it's transformed the whole fan base. They're singing his name, and now he's a hero. If you score against Spurs to win a North London derby, very much like Torreira did, you know, whatever happened to Torreira happened, but he'll still be remembered for that goal, ripping his shirt off in the celebrations. Xhaka now will always be a folk hero. I'm so pleased for him. And you know what? I just loved it. I loved every moment of that. And that's it. There was no coming back from them after that. The game was won.
Xhaka just really feels like a settled player. And you were confident when he was going through on goal. And I can't really remember ever saying that about Granit Xhaka in the past. So,
no.
I can't really remember him being in that position that often. He's been in that position so many times this season. Either third or fourth goal this season, something like that. But It's just fantastic. I think my little one's screaming, so I'll see if my wife gets up or I'll pop over and grab her. She's probably screaming about Arsenal's third goal on Saturday.
Of course. Just because we talked about it.
I'll give her a second. Sometimes she'll calm down. But she's screaming like Antonio Conte after the third. But it was like you said, it was a fantastic finish. Great move. At that moment, Partey actually did remind me of Vieira galloping. He was just galloping, wasn't he, through the midfield, little 1-2.
Does it with grace?
Yeah, he's got a very interesting gait when he runs. Really interesting gait when he runs. So just fantastic. And Martinelli cut inside. It was a great shot, great hit. And at that point, even I was able to relax, you know, really relax, which was amazing. Again, we've had a lot of games like that this season where we are able to relax in the final sort of quarter of the game, which I can't remember having one or two of those last season, to be honest.
No.
We always used to say it, oh God, I can't breathe till the end of the game. It's so tent hooks, even if we were winning or whatever.
The only way we could relax was being about 4-5 nil up, and that was never going to happen.
Yeah, I think there was a stat, wasn't there, that we scored 20, is it, this season so far in the league, and it took us... It took us double the amount of games last season to get 20 goals. It's just amazing, really. But just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic from Thomas Partey. I just thought, brilliant. Again, Martinelli's constant energy. And they were all over the place at that point. I don't think they'd settled. Conte hadn't made his five sub moment yet, where he'd basically thrown in the towel, which was incredible. I mean, if that was my manager doing that, I mean, some of their fans have come out and said, oh yeah, you know, he knew we'd lost, so he thought he'd save his players. But to be honest, you were 3-1 down, you brought on two fullbacks for two strikers. I mean, you were playing defensive as it was, and you've just brought on two fullbacks for two strikers. I mean, your fans should get their money back. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you've just, that's an absolute disgrace. But
no, what he did was he knew that was it. He'd done no answers. He had lost it.
Absolutely.
Great to see that from our point of view.
Yeah, absolutely great to see. But like you said, the redemption arc from Granit Xhaka, I couldn't be happier either, and I've been super, super critical of him. But yeah, I really like listening to him now, and you know, about his story, and I think you don't know everything that's going on with a player, do you? And you just judge him on the pitch, and that's, you know, something that I certainly think I've learned from that, to not judge. But I think really, I didn't really believe Xhaka was good enough to play the role that he's playing at the moment, to be honest. And I want to see if there's longevity in it, of course. But this season, I mean, I've been nothing but praise for him. So it's been fantastic. Brilliant. But Neil, just on Partey, I mean, it does still feel to a certain degree, although Lokonga did really well, that we've that he's a little bit of a single point of failure in a way. We talked about it multiple times, and I kind of still feel that's the case. Be very interested, curious to see what we do with him in January. But this is a real, you know, sort of important month, isn't it, for him? I'm guessing you're the same as me, as you just don't want to see him in any of those midweek games unless it's a Premier League one. Because although I like Lukonga, it's clear, isn't it, the drop-off. I mean, you saw it at Man U to a certain degree, didn't you? It's just really hard. I mean, and it's not complaining about Lukonga, but Thomas Partey's one of the best midfielders in his league, in the league when he plays like that, I think. So... Yeah. I do have a little bit of worries on the injury front with a few players, him and Saka being the predominant ones. I don't know if you have to.
Yes, I agree with you, but I think we've said it before. I think Vieira can slot in if need be. If we're okay in the midfield, potentially Vieira could play that role, and Vieira's looking great as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's saying about the depth, and I know that there are particular positions where I think he's definitely got to do something in January. I think he tried to anyway. In the summer, he missed out, and I think his mistake may, or Edu's mistake, maybe they focused on that one player too much, and they didn't look at anywhere else. But I think after the World Cup, we might rectify that. I'm sure he'll get someone in the January window. But you know, at the moment, if need be, on the right, I'm sure for Saka, Vieira can play, and then we have got some good squad players. You know, we've got Marquinhos back there. We've got some other youngsters which look hungry.
Look like good players. It's just that they're quite inexperienced players.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've got to worry about that with Vieira. He just looks like, he's another one that looks like he's, whatever he's played for us, he looks like he's been playing for ages for the team.
Yeah. Well,
he looks very comfortable.
Very impressive in that Brentford game. He's a player in midweek that I'm always very excited to see at the moment. So that's why Thursday, I'm very excited just to watch him play. You know, his first game, first start at the Emirates, it will be, I think. So it'll be, that'll be a good one to watch him play. But I think we can't go too much further without talking about our colossus, Rolls Royce at the back, best centre back in the league.
World.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, wasn't it? Because he actually went on international duty and he had some criticism for France. And I just thought, I'll let me click the game on and watch him. And it wasn't the sleeper I know, but he's playing for a team that he's not, you know, I've always thought Deschamps is an overrated coach as well, but he was playing with a right back, a right wing back in front of him that was just gone. I mean, I think it was Benjamin Pavard. It was just gone. It was nowhere near him. I don't think he necessarily did big things wrong, but it was just interesting to see in a back three and stuff like that. But for us, whenever he's played for us, I mean, in the Premier League, he's just absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely
brilliant, isn't he?
Composure, grace, calmness, and absolute authority.
Yeah.
He made Kane look stupid at times.
Yeah, I mean, he had two touches in the box all game, didn't he? And one of them was pen.
Yeah.
And some were so quiet. Yeah. And Ben White has to take some credit for that too, because the last time we had some playing, it was Cedric and Holding up against him. I mean, that's some progression there to have Ben White and Saliba up against him. I bet he didn't know what had hit him. But,
no.
But
you know, the irony of it, sorry to cut you off, the irony is I thought it would be Gabriel who would be mentoring Saliba. I think it's turning out to be the other way around.
Yeah. And I think Gabriel knows it as well, which is kind of crazy.
He's the one that's making the bigger mistakes, or the more mistakes out of the two of them.
Yeah, and some people have said, you know, they want to see, you know, Ben White in at centre back and Tomiyasu at right back. I do think in the future that position might be something we look at in terms of the left centre back. But I also think Mikel Arteta is quite bound to having a left centre back with a left foot. As a predominant foot, I think you see it in the Europa League games. I put money on Gabriel starting in the Europa League game just because he did the last one too, because he's the only left-footed centre-back we've got for that position. I don't think he's necessarily a very big fan. Well, Pep Guardiola isn't either. You know, he rotated both his centre-backs against Man United, but he's still got Nathan Ake, who's a left-footed centre-back there, or Laporte. Uses both for, so I mean, there's been quite resounding reports of us wanting to buy a left centre back anyway with a left foot, especially as Pablo Mari's left and all that kind of stuff. So I think that might be something we address. But for current time being, I do think Gabriel will continue to play unless these errors become, you know, more of a habit, you know, than the exception. Obviously, he's made a couple this season, but he does always seem to redeem himself quite well in the games. Like, obviously, he made the error, but I do feel he's quite good after it. Yeah, you know, I know that doesn't make up for it necessarily, but against Fulham, do you remember? I mean, he scored the winner, didn't he, against Fulham? So, he did. Yeah, so just little things like that. But again, when you've got Saliba there, I mean, he is the unblockable player in our back four, isn't he? You can debate all the other positions in a way, but he's the undroppable one, isn't he?
Oh, 100%. He starts every game.
Yeah. Do you know, there's a couple of times where I think it was Son or Kane maybe got off his shoulder a little bit. And his ability to just recovery speed is just...
He doesn't make an effort.
He just glides. And I mean, we've had players that are kind of Toure was very fast, Sol Campbell, but he's agile and fast. Do you know what I mean? He can turn and he can run and he is so, so good. And he's so good on the ball. I mean, he is the all-round centre-back, I think. I really do think that. And the fact that he's 21 is just incredible. And, you know, we read reports this week that he's not close to signing a new deal yet. I'm not that concerned yet because I think his stock's going up every week and I'm sure his agent knows that. So they're probably just saying, we'll sit and hold it, you know. But he comes off the pitch yesterday. They're singing his name. I remember him talking about Marseille's crowd a little bit last year and saying, you know, they're fanatical, they're amazing. And I always watched Marseille, but I don't think it was ever a point where they were singing his name and 60,000 standing there after 5-6 games. I don't think that happened. So there's the difference, you know, that sort of personable effect that the fan base or the Arsenal fan base has for these players. Look at the songs we're seeing Zinchenko. You see his wife videoing it from the car. You know, they're not doing that at Man City. Do you know what I mean? They're not. No. They're just not doing it to that level at Man City. He's just another player. Do you know what I mean? So I think that our fan base seems to be creating something really special.
It's huge. The fan base has got to be applauded because I don't care what anyone says, that has made the major difference as respect to our 12th man, massively so. We're really getting behind the players, even when there's a dip in their play. Massively getting behind the players, and I just think it's a wonder to see that finally we got that unity in the fan base that we've always craved. We always used to talk about the teams like Newcastle and even Tottenham fans. Doesn't matter how rubbish they are, they're always behind their players. They're always in unity, and we never seem to be. Even when we get good results, there seems to be fractions, and we all know why that all started. You know, there's that element of our fan base that decided to try and brave it. Yeah, it's still existing. So I'm glad to see that there's that unity, and that's made a big, big difference. Because if you've got that and you've got that atmosphere in the ground, and you're trying to create a fortress at home, you need the fans to be able to do that. You know, Anfield is the epitome. Anfield is the epitome, especially when they play in Europe. Look at their fans; it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and we've got to replicate that. And if you know, once we're back in the Champions League, we've got to replicate that in our Champions League games. And I think now we're getting to a point where we will do so. We've got our little anthem now, haven't we, as well? It's all coming together nicely. It's so weird. I keep saying it. It's just this season, everything. That documentary, it was almost like the catalyst for everything to come together this season. You've got the Ashburton Army doing their thing, got the fans going mental. We know what happens behind the scenes now, which I think has buoyed a lot of the fans, that they've actually gone on side with what Arteta's trying to achieve. You know, everyone was questioning what Edu was doing. We know what he's doing. We've got such a good insight. I think that has really given the fans belief that actually, I think he's got a vision and we're heading in the right direction. And the most important thing about it all, you know, that huddle after the first goal shows it, is that the players are all playing for each other. They've all got each other's backs. I don't think they're too worried when they might be moved out of position or they might be dropped, because they understand it's for a bigger picture. It's for a bigger picture and an ultimate goal. And they probably know that they're going to get their chance anyway, which they will, because we've got League Cup, FA Cup, Europa Cup. They're going to get their chances. So I don't see that as a problem. Fans have been amazing, Jack. And as I said, I think we're going to go from strength to strength.
Yeah, I do. No, brilliant. Like you said, you just want to be part of it, don't you? And that the players are no different. But, you know, Tomiyasu and Tierney are just sitting there saying, I just want to be a part of it. I just want to get on, you know, I want to play, I want to contribute, which is great. You know, you want that from your team. I think my only, reservation is I felt in the summer we were one or two short. I still, at this moment, feel we are one or two short. And you know, do you know what? You know, I speak to Liverpool fans, I speak to Chelsea fans, well, not Chelsea fans, but Liverpool fans and other teams fans, and a lot of teams feel they're one or two short in certain areas. So it's not, we're not the exception. I think the Europa League could really play into our hands if we do what we need to do, and if the players coming in meet the standard that they need to and get the results early, because we should be able to rotate more than the Champions League clubs. Basically, we are playing a day later than them, or two, as in this week, but we should be able to rotate more than them. I watch a few of the Champions League games, and rarely do these top teams rotate more than two or three players from the Premier League games, but we're rotating. I think the last one we rotated 9 players, you know. So that enabling us to do that is in the group stages and still being able to qualify, etc., could be really, really valuable in this period before the World Cup. You know, hopefully it could play into our hands because we've got some really difficult fixtures, and the next one is really, really difficult. But if you had to pick a man of the match, Neil, who would you have picked for this game? Wow. It's a tough one, isn't it?
Saka did well. Martinelli played well. Jesus does what Jesus does. Xhaka actually got it, didn't he, officially?
He did.
Oh, God. I would be Xhaka stroke Partey. I would actually give it to Partey.
Yeah, I would say Partey as well, actually. I was going to say, I thought Saka, but I think Partey was so good. I think it was almost faultless. Xhaka obviously had the error for the first goal. Yeah. It was fantastic. Yeah. And I was humming and ahhing between Saka and Partey. I'd go Partey as well. So yeah, that's interesting. But again, I would have gone Partey for the Brentford game. And I just wonder if we've had a discussion with Garner, Neil, because international teams notoriously haven't really been our best friend in terms of, you know, how they use our players, right? Like you see what happened with Kieran Tierney and whatnot. And you could even say Odegaard to a degree, right? He was barely fit he didn't play for us before the international break, but there he is playing for Norway 2-3 days later or whatever. So, but it does look like with certain teams, we've had a word, Brazil, Edu having that in with Brazil, and maybe one or two others, maybe with Ghana too, where we've sort of said to them, it's for your best interest and ours if you don't use him too much here, and we'll try to do the same on our end. And maybe we've said something like that, look, you'll see that he will not be playing every game for us, or he won't be playing full games for us, etc. So we're kind of meeting him halfway, because I can understand it from an international team's perspective. You play him 90 minutes every week and you're telling me not to play him at all. But when you know you've got a player like that is prone to something, if you can get the international team on board, obviously come to the World Cup, that's not going to be there, is it? So you know, because it's the World Cup. But and that does concern me, because him playing 3, 4, 5 games in quick succession concerns me. So let's just hope Ghana get knocked out in the groups. That's what I'm waiting for. I don't know whose group they're in. But again, in the World Cup, Neil, if you look at it, out of our first team, that first 11 that played today, there's only really 3 that are going to start every game for their national team. Partey, Xhaka and Saka. Those are the only 3. If you think about it, Ramsdale's not going to start for England.
No.
Ben White might not even make the squad. No. Gabriel will not start for Brazil if he makes the squad. Saliba, okay.
Maybe.
He might start, but he wasn't starting. Koundé got injured and that's why he started this. So he wasn't starting. So I don't think he would start. Tierney's not going. Zinchenko's not going.
There you go.
Jesus, if he's going, he's probably not starting. Martinelli, 50-50 if he's going. And then obviously Saka and Odegaard's not going. So I think, I don't know, I haven't gone through everyone else's team, but I don't think that's too bad. You know, like 3 players there. Obviously Tomiyasu will start, but he's not a starter currently. So, you know, he could do with the fitness maybe to a certain degree. Possibly, you know, you think about that, So I think, again, looking at the World Cup in a positive light, you never know what could happen to the players, you know, coming off the bench or starting. But you know, it could be worse going into it, I think, in that sense. We've got some people that are just going to stay home, like Zinchenko and Odegaard and Tierney and maybe even Ben White. And there's not, you know, that's not a bad thing either. Those are players that are close to...
And to be fair, Jack, you're touching on it, but then the other teams have got that issue and dilemma as well, haven't they? It's not just us.
No, yeah, of course.
So, you know, it could happen to their team. So I think at the end of the day, the World Cup's not until when? Near the end of November? When does it start?
It's like November 26th, but our last game is November 12th, I think. Right. Okay. So we're really talking about 5 weeks here, or 6 weeks here.
If we can keep going for the rest of the time before then and just get the results, then we'll worry about it then. I wouldn't worry about it.
Of course, just take one game at a time and then wait for it.
And just if I can just rewind, just on your slight Saliba concerns about the contract. I don't think there's a worry, because You think you tell me, Jack, just from a humanity, from a emotional and a human point of view, if he was that uncomfortable here and he didn't want to sign, he wanted to move on, I don't think he'd be playing so well, would he?
Yeah. No, he looks really comfortable.
He just looks comfortable.
See his celebrations for the goals,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's just, I can't see him not staying. He'll be mad not to, especially if we get through to the Champions League or even better. I can't see it.
I wonder if our initial offer to him has probably changed 2 or 3 times, even over the past 2 or 3 months, you know. Maybe initially we offered to I don't know, treble his wages. But now we're probably talking about this player being one of the highest paid players at the club, aren't we? Because I think who's the highest paid? Thomas Partey. Because Pepe's left. I think it was Pepe. But now it's Thomas Partey on like maybe 180 grand a week or 200 grand a week. And then I presume the Saka deal, if it happens, is going to be close to the Thomas Partey one. But I presume you can't really argue with Saliba being around that point. I would say, unless I'm mistaken, I think we've got 4 key players with 2 years left on their contract: Saka, Martinelli, Gabriel, and Saliba. And Gabriel's contract is never mentioned ever.
Right.
So that is quite interesting. Like, we hear about Martinelli, we hear a lot about Saliba and Saka. Unless I'm mistaken, Gabriel has 2 years left. So that would be one to watch, I guess, to see where we go with that. But Neil, a fantastic display. Absolutely dominant.
Brilliant.
Although I think we've played better games this season, which says a lot for us and not a lot for them, because I don't think we got our third, fourth gear, to be honest.
No. I think we dropped down to second afterwards.
Yeah, really. It's true. I mean, certainly, we made a lot of changes as well, didn't we? Just to rotate, but...
Just one thing you may have missed, the incident where Jesus was brought down. It was another amazing run.
Maybe you thought it was a pen.
And he was brought down. But irrespective of whatever that result was, what I liked about it is we didn't just give up. We then recycled the ball again, which led to, I think, Saka doing a good pass to White. And White actually made a good cross and Jesus headed wide. Now, I don't know whether that was because he'd got injured from the pen incident.
He got stepped on as well.
Or he got injured as he landed after that header. I'm not sure, but that was a really untypical Jesus. He was way off target. But we could have taken the 3-1 lead at that point. So we had other chances.
Yeah, the one thing I'd say for that is he was limping a little bit as he came off, wasn't he, Jesus?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
so just keep my fingers crossed. Just reading that. That there is some reports that we are intending to spend. Though again, it's from relatively reliable journalists, but in January, like you said, on a new midfielder. So hopefully that is the case, because in January, I mean, we've got about 5 months left of Mohamed Elneny. His contract's out. We won't give him a new contract now.
Nah.
So you think, especially if we are, you know, in the running for things, top four or more, that we wouldn't make last January's mistake again. Basically, that's where I'd go with it. But brilliant win. Absolutely. I was ecstatic all day. I was putting my Arsenal shirt on, put my kids in the Arsenal shirt. I was like, just walk around everywhere in the Arsenal shirt. I don't care if no one knows what we're doing. I was like, we're top of the league. You've got to enjoy it. This week's tough, Neil. So let's just give us some predictions for this week. We've got Bodo Glimt and Liverpool, who are 11 points behind us at the moment. But Liverpool always show up against Arsenal. Liverpool always show up against
they
Arsenal.
Do.
So I'm expecting to see the best Liverpool that anyone's seen this season play against.
Oh, yeah, of course. And they'll be world class.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your prediction for midweek, knowing that we'll probably rotate quite a lot, and for the Liverpool game on Sunday?
Yeah, I think we will rotate quite a lot. And I think we've got the ability to do so, which is nice. I can see changes all over the place. I think you'll get a couple of players. I think you're right. I think Gabriel will play. I've got a feeling Xhaka might play as well.
Yeah, that's my two.
Though
someone made a good point, sorry to interrupt you, on Twitter, that said I wouldn't play Xhaka in midweek anymore because I think he's becoming to the point where we can't replace him, which may be true too if you look at Smith Rowe being out and who plays in that left eight. So they were suggesting playing Odegaard instead of Xhaka. I don't think that will happen, but go on, Garrett, carry on.
I think he will. He might not play the whole game if we do well and we're up quite early. I don't know. It depends on how the game pans out. But Vieira will come in. Marquinhos will come in. Eddie Nketiah 100% will come in.
Yeah.
I can't. Holding, I think, may play. Tomiyasu will play. Tierney will play. But look at that. You think about three players there. Tierney, Tomiyasu, sometimes you can even argue holding, that they would have been almost maybe three start regular players when the season's gone. And now we can bring them on for our other games. It's incredible. Yeah. So I know you're saying, I think we are short, but we, in some ways, we have got quite a good squad now.
Yeah.
Where we've got this ability and this flexibility to rotate. And I, you know what? I really hope Eddie does well. I really want to see him, because we've committed to him now. He's committed to us.
Yeah.
So we can't forget the player. And I think if there's ever a case where we do need him for whatever reason, I don't like to mention it, but Jesus is absent for a while for whatever reason, we're going to need him.
At some point, Neil Jesus is going to have to serve that one game suspension, because I think the five yellows goes through till the World Cup. So, we are going to have to. I mean, my hope at this point is that, you know, I wanted him for Spurs and I wanted him for Liverpool. And then the games after that, they're not easy. But again, you'd rather lose him for one of those if you get.
Do you know who we got after Liverpool?
Leeds away. Leads away, which isn't easy, but again, you'd rather him.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean, other than those, but
we see some wholesome changes. I think I don't know anything about Bodo. I don't even know they.
Well, they are quite a good footballing team. They're top of the group at the moment. We've obviously played a game less, but they drew with PSV at PSV. And then they beat Zurich like we did, but they are, from what I hear, quite a good footballing team. So
Right. Definitely
a lot more challenging than Zurich, which makes you wonder if he goes a little stronger. I think that you could see Martinelli too in this game, because I don't know if Nilsson's going to be fit enough or be relied upon enough. We don't really know what's happening with Nilsson, do we?
Uh-huh.
So, you could see Martinelli from the... He's probably the other one that I would say you might be... Plus, he had the 2 weeks off for the international break. So, Martinelli might be thinking about that too. You obviously wouldn't play Saka in it. You can't. Odegaard had the international break too. I can't see it. But Xhaka for leadership, and the fact we don't have anyone else there. Gabriel for the left-footed reason that we mentioned. And maybe Martinelli, those are the three that I would consider probably to possibly play. Martinelli be on the bench if he doesn't start, but... But yeah, it'll be interesting, mate.
So because it's an unknown for me, I'm not going to go too crazy with my normal craziness. So, and because obviously there will be changes at the back, I'll go for a 3-1.
Close one.
I'll allow them a goal, Jack. I'll go for 3-1.
3-1, okay. First score?
Yeah. I hope it'll be Eddie.
Yes, brilliant. Yeah, and what about, let's do, because we won't get one done in midweek. I know, what about Sundays?
Oh, God. Do you know what? It is tough, because you're right. They're going to shut. Called Klopp. Come on, he's going to... He'll find some inhalers somewhere and make them back
seat. Delay in shipment.
They'll definitely... Oh, gosh. If it was at Anfield, I would have taken the draw, but I still think we've got to show dominance at the Emirates. I think we're going to win, but it's going to be so cagey. It's going to be a tough, tight game. 2-1.
Oof. God, that'd be amazing if we can beat them. We have beaten them at the Emirates. You know, the year they won the league, but it was such a, you know, and to be honest, every game against them has been quite a dominant display from Liverpool. And even that one was, I think we had like two shots on target, and Reece Nelson scored and we kind of back to the wall kind of thing. I think last season, although we lost 2-0 to Liverpool at home, the game was much more even, if you remember it.
You
talk to Liverpool fans and they'll be like, we dominate.
No, they actually didn't.
It was quite even. Both teams had about 10 shots apiece. Possession was pretty even. It just, it was a little error from Ramsdale, and the first goal was kind of crucial. Mm-hmm. So, what I want to do, like you, is I want to see us take the game to them. So, 2-1. Did you give me a first score?
No, I didn't. I'm trying to wrap my brain. Do you know what? Odegaard.
Yeah. All right. I'll go with that. Bodo Glimt. Yeah, I've heard. I've not watched enough of them, but I've heard that they're a decent side. So I'll go 2-1 in midweek. 2-1 in midweek. Yeah. I think it will be maybe a little bit tight, but we'll hopefully win it. And then I'll go Vieira for that one.
Oh, nice! I didn't think of that.
Good Vieira. Yeah. And then for the Liverpool game, I a big sort of, you know, if people were to say what's the big sort of question mark on us, is probably our ability to beat the top two of previous years, the Liverpool Man City's. I do think, although we didn't do it last year, we did really progress in that area. But obviously the result is a big thing. Like, we should have been City at home.
Yes.
We were a lot closer to Liverpool at home, particularly away. Obviously we got blown out by both of them, but and that's to come. But, you know, I'm really curious to see how this game goes, because we knew we were going to dominate against Spurs in terms but we've not done that for years against Liverpool in terms of dominating the game. So first and foremost, I want to see that. I think we have the capability to be able to do that. But like you, I do think it'd be quite a cagey game, but I'm going to be keeping a positive hat on. I'm going to go 1-0 to the Arsenal.
I love it.
1-0 Saka. I'll go 1-0 Saka.
Do you know what, Jack? The comfort is probably there is never a better time to play Liverpool. I know Klopp will gee them up for us, especially because we're top of the league. Because we're top of the league, and he'll have approved points to prove. But I think there's never a better time to play them.
Yeah,
last few years anyway.
Surely. Yeah. You could be right. You could, well, let's hope you are right. But huge games. I mean, a really interesting way to start back from the international break. But hey, you know, at the moment, great win against Tottenham. Top of the league. We cannot complain. Got to enjoy the week, at least till Thursday, when I'll start biting my nails again, as I do before every game. But looking really good. Hopefully everyone's come through Saturday's game unscathed, and we can go into Liverpool with a relatively
football team. Nothing on him so far.
No, I mean, I remember a few people texting. I think Anthony did, saying he limped off, and I think adrenaline going. I wasn't really paying attention too much to it, and I expected it was from the penalty shout, where I think it was Dia that pushed him, but then stamped on his ankle. I think the stamp was accidental, but I think that was where he felt the injury from. So if it's just a stamp, that will just be a sore one, and it'll be all right from it. I hope it's just that. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, keeping positive. Either way, we won't know from Mikel Arteta, because he doesn't tell us anything in the press conferences. Tells us everyone's fit. This week he said Elneny's fit, Jack Wilshere is fit, Rizicky's fit. DRB's fit, everyone's fit.
Great, we got a good squad then.
Yeah, we got a good squad, exactly. But like you said, our squad is maybe a little bit more depth than people think. But hopefully we don't have to utilise it too much in the Premier League over the next 6 weeks. But Neil, it's been fun, brilliant. Thanks for getting on. I had to talk about the North London Derby, didn't we? And we'll be back, hopefully, after another big win against Liverpool on Sunday. Arsenal, boys. Got to believe in we. At Purely Arsenal FP on Twitter. You'll find all our ads there. We're on YouTube. Just type in Purely Arsenal Podcast. We're there. We're on Spotify as well, and some of your rubbish apps if you listen through those as well. So thank you, James, Mike. Hopefully you'll chat soon. I know Mike's doing some big things on his pod as well. So doing great stuff. Go follow it, Arsenal Above All. Twitter, I think, is the app, right? I've been following along too. He's doing some really good stuff. So thank you to everyone for listening. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Keep it Arsenal. Top of the league. Come on, the boys.